want to share with you today. I guess this one more Sunday on some parables. We'll look again at Matthew 25 and look at the parable of the talents. So let's turn there and read this together. So that begins in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. Faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him who has from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. To everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this last verse in a parable, I think, is particularly a distressing verse. We want to take a look at it in terms of what the Lord is talking to us in this current age. This and the parable before it, we spoke about 2 weeks ago, the parable of the 10 virgins, both have to do with how we conduct ourselves during the period between the cross and the second coming of Christ. And to remind you about the parable of the virgins, I know what I came away with, hopefully expressed, was that the emphasis in that parable was how we rest during the period between the cross and the coming of Christ. And in particular, in that resting, how we come to understand to position ourselves before God, to be anointed with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. So the first lesson in this chapter about waiting on the Lord's return is that we should know what it is to rest before Him and be filled with the Spirit. Now here, we see the opposite side of that. The opposite side of resting is being awake. And in particular, the emphasis in this parable is on working. The question is, what do we occupy ourselves with? What do we do during this period of time, this age of salvation? This age, that's how Paul characterizes it. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. That's the day in which we live. And the question is, how do we occupy ourselves? But as I speak about this, and I hope I'll make this clear and emphasize this as we go through, we can only occupy ourselves as we rest properly and are filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, the things that come out here don't make too much sense. And so that's the context in which the Lord is speaking here. The other thing that's important is to see that neither rest in and of itself or work in and of itself is adequate. But a working man who rests and a rested man who works, that's what God's looking for. It's both. You know, we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus, if we were to kind of follow him around and just make a little catalog of the things that we were doing, it would be very hard to label him a lazy man. He was a busy man in the sense that he had many things to do. Yet he would say to the disciples, come apart for a while and rest. And he himself would find times to come apart and rest and be renewed. And so it's the two together that God calls us to. And it's in that context that we want to talk about the issue of work. Now, I want to take just a brief look at the issues here of the three servants and of the trouble the third servant had. And then I want to go on and to take a look at the particular terms. What does the word ability mean in this passage? What is the talent? And what is the work being done with the talent? What do these things mean and how do we apply them? And that's probably where I'll spend most of my time. But just to say a few words about these three people, because obviously our attention is drawn to the fact that there's a contrast here. And the main contrast I want to draw is between the one with the five and two and the one with the one. And let's look first at the one with five, who says, and he who received the five talents, verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five. And then the other one, verse 17, so he also had the two, made two talents more. Now, I think there's probably a significance here, because every word really counts, that it says of the one with the five talents, he went at once and traded. And the one with the two, he went and traded. And the one with the one, he didn't. See, this is really what we're like as God's people. There are some who have a lot of wind in their sails, so to speak. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. There's a lot of enthusiasm for knowing the Lord and for doing his work. And some are quick to move in that and do in that and labor in that. And then there are those who treasure the Lord, are grateful, recognize the talents they've been given, but perhaps are a little slower on the draw, so to speak. They need more time. They have to maybe contemplate what they're going to do. It may be due to a laziness, or it may simply be due to a faint-heartedness, or even just due to a need to contemplate a little more and pray a little more about how to do it and when to do it. It's important to see in this parable that the Lord doesn't bring any condemnation on that. The Lord commends both servants and asks both of them to enter into his joy. So I think it's very important for us as we fellowship together in this age. We see some of us with clear direction, serving in particular ways, or working successfully in certain ways. Others, perhaps wrestling or uncertain, or in our own judgment, doing less. We have to understand it from God's perspective. He is patient with all of us, giving all of us opportunity to use the talent we have, not making judgments upon whether it's much or little, and then giving us time to respond in accordance to, I'm jumping ahead now, the measure of faith that we have to move into things he has for us. And so I think part of what we need to do as the body of Christ is encourage one another wherever we are. If you see someone who's come to have a clear vision, is excited about what he's doing, encourage them. Get behind them. Bless them. If you see someone who's questioning, then encourage them. Ask them to give them time to ask the questions. Encourage them to seek the Lord. Encourage them to receive the blessing God has and then to move as they're ready. But then there's this other person with the one talent who sees God as a hard man and who is afraid to use the talent. We must understand that the parable says that the master left for a long period of time. And it was not as if this one servant wasn't given opportunity to be encouraged and to consider his gifting and to consider what he might do with that talent. It was rather the unwillingness of the servant to seek faith and use the talent that's, I think, condemned here. And the Lord is patient, but the Lord gives us what he gives us for purpose, and we're to seek him in that. And we should not be faint-hearted if we feel like, you know, I'm the guy with the one talent, I don't have much, and my faith is little, and I don't have much vision. That's not the issue. The issue is not how much you have. The issue is what you do with what you have. And to recognize that there is grace for you, just like there is grace for the guy with two and five. It's the same grace. It's given through Christ, and it's a sufficient grace to use the talent you have properly to fulfill the good works that God has prepared. And so we should encourage one another with that. Nevertheless, we should also recognize that some people come into the Lord's presence and ultimately do not commit their lives to him or live by faith. And that is a choice we must all individually make. But that the Lord does not compromise that. He does not say, well, it's really okay whether you exercise your faith or not. It's really okay whatever you believe. That is not what he says. He says that there is a faith to have and a faith to be exercised and a talents to be used to demonstrate that. And we want to embrace that. And so it shouldn't be with fear, but it should be with sober judgment that we are place ourselves before the Lord and say, in this season of life, Lord, let me demonstrate the measure of faith you've given to me in the things that I do. Okay, so having said that now, let's try and get some clarity on, well, what is it that we're given and how do we use it? And I really want to try and talk about it in two ways. First of all, what are the areas of work we're given to do in this life, general areas? What are some of the things we focus on? And the second is, what are the ways in which we exercise that work? And there is work to do, and there are ways to do the work. And those are the two things I want to look at. But first, I want to look at some of the terms here and just be a bit more specific about it. Let's go back then to the beginning. There was a man who went on a journey, and then it says he gave to one 5 talents, I'm in verse 15, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. And then it says in verse 16, he who had the 5 went at once and traded with them. So there's 3 terms here that I think we need to dwell on. The talent, which is given, ability, which we see in towards the end of verse 15, and trading, or another translation is investing, which you see in verse 16. That is to say, a man with ability is given a talent and is told to goes and he trades with them. Or in the case of the one with one talent, does not trade with them. Okay, so what do these things mean? Well, first, the most difficult word here is the word ability. The word ability actually is the Greek word for power. It's dynamo. And so as I was meditating on that, for the purposes of understanding this parable this time through, I thought it was most helpful to think of ability or power as our faith. I've already alluded to this. Because the things that we do in this life with power are done by because we have faith in Christ's power. It's not of ourselves. It needs to be faith. So ability here, I think, is best thought of as faith. I don't think the talent itself is faith. I think the talent is the gifting that we're given, or what we might otherwise call in English abilities, but I'll simply call talent or gifting, probably gifting as I speak here. And that varies from person to person, as does faith. Now, there's this mystery about faith. Some people, faith is deep and broad and seems to be easy to find. For others, there seems to be more of a struggle, I think. I mean, it's just my observation. I think we see that in the scripture. We see that from the man who comes and wants his daughter healed, and Jesus says to him, I maybe have the wrong parable or story, Lord, if you can heal my daughter. And Jesus says, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes. And he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, we're all like that somewhere along the line, with some belief and some unbelief. And God is helping us in this life to rebuke the unbelief and come to faith. We have to understand that we're in different places. And that God has different, perhaps even different goals. I don't understand these mysteries. Some may have great faith, some less. We all can have faith to come to salvation in Christ. But as to the works that God has given us to do, faith may vary from one to another. And as I said earlier, we mustn't be troubled by this. We must simply ask the question, Lord, am I growing in a measure of faith that you have for me? That's what's important. That's a place of rest to come into. And and it's in proportion to this faith, this ability, that the talent is given. It's in proportion to this faith or ability that the talent is given. That's what the scripture is telling us. And then it's in accordance with that faith and talent that the servant trades. And so the first question I think we really need to ask ourselves as we consider what these things are is to say, Lord, what measure of faith have you given me and what talents have you given me? And I want to dwell on this in a little bit because I think we often get stuck there. It's really very interesting. You know, I do this a lot as a physician. I used to say to somebody, well, how do you feel? You'll be amazed at how hard it is for people to answer that question. You know, for example, you have a stoic come in and, their foot is kind of hanging out and it's red and swollen. And how do you feel? Okay. You know, they're not going to tell you it hurts. It really hurts. It's because of the way they are. And you'll have somebody else come in with a little hangnail and, and how's it going? And there's a long litany of this hurts and that hurts and not even the nail. I don't see all sorts of concerns. You know, and this and that. And okay. So partly, you know, you learn to listen. So people are very, very different in their ability to assess their true state and to express it. And we're like that, both with our talents and our faith. To which I want to say, there's grace to get better at it. Our ability to assess our true measure of faith and our talents is something that God will help us with. Because without that, it's going to be hard to know how to trade. And after all, what's really important in this parable is that we trade or invest. We haven't gotten to that word yet, so let me say a word with that. The word trade here, or invest, is the Greek word for work. And that's what it means. You know, how are you going to work? So we'll come back to that in a minute. So having said that, I want to encourage you just to pray about it. And it's very, very helpful if we're uncertain about what we can believe God for or what we have to use in this life to serve the Lord, to speak to others who love us. They can reflect back to us more accurately. They can be mirrors to us. Because it is hard to make judgments. And I've had people do this for me over the years. And I say there's something I want to do and I have hesitation. And I've had people say to me, you know, you should go, you should do that. The Lord will bless what you do. Simple words like that. And then I would take the step. It would help me overcome my hesitation. It would help me say to myself before the Lord, yes, you know, Lord, I think that measure of faith is in me. That level of talent has been, or gifting has been given to me. And so now I'll exercise it. Okay. So, Now let us move on, and I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the areas in which we need to work, some categories that are, I think, common to all of us. So the first one, and I'll go through these quickly, I have five of them. The first one is a discipline. This won't sound like work to you, but they are. The first one is a discipline to think about Jesus. Now that came to me after much thinking and considering, because the first kind of responsibility in the Christian life is to mature and become like Christ. But here, when we talk about that, that was the first work that came to my mind. So, well, how is that a work? And yet Jesus died on a cross to sanctify me. In what sense do I work at it, so to speak? What's my partnership in it? And as I thought about that, meditated on that, it became clear to me, I think, that at least one dimension of that is that my work in becoming like Jesus is just simply to think about him during the day, during my days, during my life. In other words, it's going to be hard for him to release the work of the Spirit in my life to bring along the process of sanctification and make me Christ-like if I don't give him attention, some thought. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the value of having quiet times, but I want to say, you know, life has its seasons. And the idea of quiet is very different in different seasons of life. And we're just getting some electronic telegrams from Katie. They're in the middle of their fall retreat now in Shanghai, and so she's alone with the two girls, and Kenny is preaching. She's not alone.
She's someone to care about today.
Well, today, but in general, she's kind of more on her own. So for her, quiet's very different than like Grace up on the mountain by herself, you know. Although she's in Shanghai too, helping. So she's not in the mountain right now. But I mean, different seasons bring different things. But in each season of life, whether we have more time or less, this past year, for the first time in probably 30 years, I've had more time than I ever have had to just try and be quiet. For someone like me who likes quiet, that has been really very nice. Although I miss the people who made it not quiet quite a bit. So, whatever it means in your life, you have to ask yourself, in the midst of my life, the way it is, you may get up very early to work. Some of you get up very early to work, I know that. You may work late, you may have long days. So you may not have the possibility of a half hour quiet time. I mean, that's not, many of us can't do that. But the question is, how do you turn your thoughts to Jesus during your day? Where do you find those opportunities? That's the first work that God has given us. And you must ask yourself, well, what can I believe God for? Now we're getting back to this matter of faith and talent. And then we should look at that question of talent. In other words, your gifting. What helps you turn your attention to the Lord? I mean, some of us love to read and study. So if you love to read and study, you should have verses to read and meditate on. That will help. We should all do that in measure. But that may be a very good way for you. Some of us are musical. And so it's easier for us to turn our attention to God by singing. You should have songs to sing. And other of us do well just being quiet for a moment and dwelling on creation. You know, so you should find a moment to be quiet and dwell on creation, let God speak to you, his presence, and there may be other ways. Okay. So moving on, and you'll fill in the blanks on some of these things. The second is we work that God's given us to do is to find time to nurture friendship. And I have found that kind of modifying the way I look at these with the terms is helpful. Because I would have said probably a year or two ago, well, nurture your relationship with your wife or husband and then children and then people around you. But, you know, again, when it comes to this issue of work, it's what's my labor in this? I've come to see that nurturing friendship in all my relationships that God brings into my life that are active. This idea of friendship is what takes time. Because to nurture friendship means I need to give attention to other people and listen to them. And I can only really nurture friendship with so many people. If people who have 1,000 friends on Facebook misunderstand the term friend from a biblical standpoint. Okay, you may have 1,000 Facebook friends, but they're not your friends in the sense that I'm talking now. Friendship takes time, and those with whom you can nurture friendship are limited in number. And who are the people who are most important to nurture friendship with? The people in your family. I'm finding that to be quite a challenge in my current stage of life. But seeing it for what it is, that's helpful. And again, I must ask myself, what is the measure of faith I have here? What are my giftings? What works well for me? That itself is a challenge, to consider those things and to try and make those things actually work. Let me go through the others a bit more quickly because I want to get to the second major point I want to make. Another area for labor is the care for the home. The purpose of caring for home is to give the people who live in the home a place to rest. You work when you leave the home, but you want to come back and have that place of rest. That goes back to the first parable, so that you might be in a place of rest before God and be refreshed by the renewing of the Spirit. Not the only way to be renewed in the Spirit, but an important way. I won't dwell more on that. Another is to do what we normally call work, that is to say, have a job. Many of us will have a job, whether that be school or a job for which we are paid. And part of God's purpose in the current period of time is to keep us out of trouble by having us eat in the sweat of our brow. That was part of the curse, but the curse isn't intended to lead us to salvation and to keep us out of difficulty. And when we are idle, that's difficult. But when we work, we enter into God's creative activity, and we learn what it is to receive things from God, having worked. And in that state, God knows, in our fallen nature, that that's the best way for us. And again, how we work and where we work is, again, dependent on our faith and our abilities. Bob, any comment?
Yeah, you mentioned that some people are inspired to read, some inspired to listen. I'm sure they can think of those other things that people inspire with.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a tendency on people's part to say, well, you know, everybody should be doing it the way I do it. Yeah. So you have to realize that God inspires different people with different things. Because human quality doesn't allow everybody to have all of the things.
Yeah. That's right. That's so true. And I just think if we have that perspective when we want to help others and nurture friendship, and instead of saying, well, here's what works for me, you should do that, and say, here's this helps me get connected with God, what helps you do that? And encourage you. That doesn't mean that, you know, anything goes. You know, it means that there are a number of godly ways to nurture your spiritual life, and we can help one another sort those things out. And then the last area here of work is that we should seek to work in the labor of sharing the gospel. And there's multiple ways to do this. We can help others who are doing it by praying for them or giving to them. We can find our own opportunities. And we've spoken a lot about this. I won't dwell on it. But it is a labor that God calls us to, and we can ask ourselves, well, what's my role? Excuse me one minute there. Stressing my phone beyond its ability here, so I'm going to put my notes on it. Okay. So I want to turn to one other dimension here, and that is, if these are some of the things we can do, what are some of the things that characterize the way we work? And what I did here was to take the word for work or trade in this particular translation I read to you and just see where else it's used. And I just want to give you a couple of ideas of what the word work is associated with, to give you a kind of a picture of what work looks like from God's perspective, the good work looks like from God's perspective. And so I'll give you a couple of verses. I won't turn there for time, and I'll just give you a brief summary of what I think that verse is saying about work. The first one in 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says that Paul is grateful for the Thessalonians' labor of love, work of faith, and labor of love. And I think that's kind of interesting there, that work and faith are tied together there. It's one of the things that made me think that that the term ability in this passage should be tied to faith. So work and faith are tied together there, just the way I'm tying them together. But then, in the next phrase, work is also tied to love. And so that is one, probably if we had to pick one thing that is the major purpose for work in our lives as we wait for the Lord. It is a way in which God has given us to demonstrate his love. Now you'd say, well, I don't always see that. Well, you may not always see direct connections. But I'll say this, your motive for work ought to be love for God and love for others. And that's one measure of faith that we can question ourselves concerning. Lord, as I do these things, am I motivated by your love in this? We can be motivated for other reasons to work. We can be motivated by the desire to be rich. We can be motivated by the desire to be thought well of. And God may make us rich, and others may think well of us. And it may or may not. Such things are in God's hands. But that shouldn't be our motive. So that's one characteristic of truly godly work, is that it's motivated by love. Another one, which was quite a surprise to me in Mark 14:6, is a parable where of the anointing of Jesus' feet, and a story. It's not a parable, it's a story. Let me read that because I want to be sure I get this right here. That is Mark 14, verse 6. If someone gets there before me, just go ahead and read that. Okay, I'm there. But Jesus said, leave her alone, right? Why do you trouble her? She has done, that's work, same word, a beautiful thing for me. And what's happened there is that was a lavish work, right? That was taking, at least one person I've read said that jar of oil she used might have been a year's income to buy. You know, it's very, very expensive. And so, you know, and I can't say I really get this. This is what the scripture teaches, and I'm meditating on it. When I work for the Lord, it ought to be a lavish thing. He's lavished love on me. We read that in Ephesians chapter 1. That's the word used there. It's the English translation. What do I do to lavish something on God? Kind of go above and beyond, you know? And so that's worth meditating on. Truly godly work has, at least at times, a lavish dimension to it. You know, I just give you an example of this. Yes, that just happened to us. It was very interesting. So we have some friends that we've known for many, many, many years. Some of you know them. And God is helping us mature in character through a project we're doing in our bathroom, which is, it's been more difficult than I anticipated. But part of the project involved painting it, and which I'm going to do it myself, but I don't like to paint, so I don't paint. So this friend is a very good painter. He's painted for us before. So I asked if he would come. He's a very warm, friendly guy, and we have a lot of connections on a lot of levels with the family. So he came, and you know, we showed him some color, and we picked the color, and he came, and he spackled and he painted, and he walked out, and I said, "What?" He did this Thursday. It was finished. What can I pay? And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "You know, you did. You know, can we pay you for the paint?" He says, "No." He says, "This is for you." That's lavish. That's lavish. You know. What's that?
And what did he say to you?
He said, if you want to do something, take the money and give it to your children. So he knows our children. We know his children. So I think, you know, do you ever do anything like that? Or are you always very measured in your work? Okay, moving on. John 5:17. I'm sorry, I do not remember. I know it. What the meaning of the verse is, but not quite the verse. Let me just read that one quickly. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working now, and I am still working." That's another characteristic of godly work, and that is to be persistent in it. That would ring bells with a lot of you. If I see one thing here, I see people who work very hard and consistently. So I have no hesitation working with you or asking you to work for me. It's really good at that. But persistence is important, and it's not always the case for everybody. Sometimes we give up, too early in the work. Galatians is, I have just three more here. Galatians 6:10, share with those in need. While there is time, let us do good to all men, especially those who are the household of faith. So that's another characteristic. Share with those who are in need, particularly those who are the household of faith. Ephesians 4:28, let me read that one. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have to share with anyone in need. It's another verse talking about sharing with people who are in need there. It doesn't make a distinction between those who are the household of faith and those who are not. And then the last one, 3 John 5, it's a word of encouragement to those who are giving, to people who are sharing the gospel, traveling, and they open their homes and they're hospitable to them. So we share with those who share the gospel more directly and help them. Okay, I'm going to stop with that. I want to just summarize and then close out. We should know ourselves. Some of us are better at resting than working. Some of us better at working than resting. Yeah, go.
If you have this link between faith and working according to your abilities, it seems there's a lot of people who don't have faith in Christ who still are very, they still invest very well with their abilities, and they seem to use it to help.
Yes, absolutely. Perhaps some of the best workers are, and people with the greatest gifts are non-Christians.
I was thinking about that alongside your thing. Yeah. People who, you say, have talents, but they don't know Christ, they can work hard, but they can't give something to God because they're not working with faith. And nothing that they do is spiritually for God because they don't know God. So they can work hard.
Yeah. What's missing there is, like I said, this is a characteristic of godly work. And when we truly work as God wants us to, we bestow a blessing. People who work hard and care for the poor can lift the burden. And that's there's something to be thankful for in that. But to bestow a spiritual blessing requires someone who's been blessed by God, who has his spiritual roots. The distinctions are sometimes hard to us to see on a horizontal basis. But only God can look and see what a spiritual work is, or what we call a good work, and what a vain work is, something done in the flesh. Yes, Eric.
I just feel pretty strongly that we should be careful to judge ourselves as to whether somebody is Christian or not in that way. And I feel like if somebody really is following Christ's examples, but doesn't know Christ on a named basis, doesn't necessarily mean that he's not doing Christ's work.
Yeah, so I think that we're told not to make those judgments, except for ourselves. And if we really feel like it's important to know where the other person is spiritually in order to have a friendship with them and perhaps nurture them or decide if we should have a friendship with them, then we need to really begin to ask, more directly. Yeah.
But I think still it's important to note that if somebody is doing what we could say is good work, serving the poor, taking care of widows and orphans, those are clearly things that Christ taught us,
right.
But they're doing it in the name of Buddha,
yeah.
that is not the work of Christ. Or if they're doing those works, but they're seeking glory for themselves, like a lot of celebrities do today, they'll give to the poor, they'll travel to Africa, they'll do these things, and then use that for their own publicity, then that's for the glory of man, or for... those are not, they're good things, they do good things for people, but they're not glorifying Christ anymore.
Yeah, so I think one thing that I've come to that's helped me in this is if I see somebody doing something that's good and productive, and they seem to have a humble spirit, my conviction is that person's headed towards Christ. I say they may wind up being a better Christian than me. It's, in some ways, if we should say such a thing. But I think that, and that's somebody who I should be alert just saying, are there things we can talk about spiritually? They're sensitive. I know a number of people like this, and I really wrestle with when and how to speak to them. But I commend them to God, and I don't feel a need to make a judgment. Yeah.
There are people who are not Christians who exhibit more Christian charity than people, some people who are.
Yes, yes.
So that's not intended to judgment of anyone in particular.
Just, right.
So for example, technically, Quakers and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are not Christians because they don't believe in the divinity of Christ, they don't believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in the baptism.
Okay.
But I've seen some that I've known that have more Christian living in charity than some Christians.
Yeah, I think that's true. But then I think, again, as people are truly opening themselves up to the teachings of the Scripture, and particularly if they're doing it out of fear of God, I see that somebody on their route to Christ, you know. So I've come great comfort in that. Too. Yes, Wendy.
I would say, you know, really, you have to, the Lord looks on it as what are they doing with the light that they have, whether they know that light is from Christ or not. And so I know for a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, I have a lot of contact with a lot of them, and their heart is very sincere,
right,
and they are seeking after God.
Right.
And so the Lord will bring them to himself if they're honestly seeking God. So what they're doing with the light that they have right now, maybe more than what I'm doing,
right.
Maybe I have more
life. Right. Just okay. Make one more comment, and we're done. But the just to remember that today's sermon is focused not on what others are doing, but what we're doing. So it's okay to discuss this, but this is not what the original study was intended for. So therefore it's not the focus. But the question here is, how am I working? And how do I rejoice and work well? So now, I was going to take Brian. Go ahead.
I was just looking up on your point there in the talent parable. The talent was apparently 75 pounds of silver.
Right.
It comes in at about today $19 a pound, which is, so 75 pounds of silver was a little over $1,400. So one guy gets a little over $1,400. Another guy gets $2,850. Another guy gets $7,000. And two of them double.
Yeah.
Double their what they're getting. While the other varies. One guy varies to $1,400. The other two double what they were given. So instead of the 2,800, they got double. Instead of the 7,000, they got double. And I think when I look at the numbers, it just helps reinforce how, as a believer, through our gifting and through faith and power, the ability to multiply exponentially. It just, when you look at something that's varied,
how you can
take it back up, and it's just the same as before,
versus multiply exponentially
what you've been given
with
faith and power.
Yeah, okay.
It's huge.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's
beyond what we do. Yeah. Small note on the price of silver, it's per ounce, not per pound.
Per ounce.
So it's multiplied by about 10 as well.
Yeah.
It's 200 something an ounce.
Yeah.
I mean a pound.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not per pound, it's per ounce. Yeah.
And another thing is that was about, in their time, that was about 20 years
of late. Yes, right, that's the other thing. That's the easiest way. Yeah. So I actually want to close it because I want to open to testimonies, and I know Jerry has something he wanted to share. Yeah, I know, I realize that, but think about the next men's meeting, make your notes and bring it, because that's when we have more open-ended time, okay? So we'll open testimonies with Jerry sharing something, and others can share their testimonies.